This podcast is intended for investment professionals only. Hello, and after a short summer break, welcome back to Market Talk. This week, we'll be asking what underwhelming US payrolls mean for Fed tightening, why Chinese economic activity is slowing, and what to look out for at this week's European Central Bank meeting this Thursday. Back from the beach is me, Frances Watson, and refreshed and raring to go, Ben Bennett, Head of Investment Strategy and Research, and who joins us from Hong Kong. Ben, hello to you.
Hi, Frances. How are you? How was your holiday?
Yeah, it was lovely. Thank you so much. And talking of holiday mood, it looks like stock markets seem to have been in their own holiday mood whilst I was away and shrugged off those disappointing US payrolls.
It's a weird one, really, because the headline figure for the payrolls were disappointing. So about 230,000 people, and the hope was it was more going to be more like 600,000 or 700,000 new jobs created. So yeah, you could probably think that's disappointing. But you mentioned that the funny thing is that, you know, people's perception, investors' perception, is that that means perhaps the Federal Reserve won't be quite as aggressive in pulling away some of the support that they've been given. So bad numbers almost are good. And also, to be fair, there was lots of other details in the release that weren't as bad as that. So the another way of looking at the jobs in terms of the unemployment rate, that actually improved. Wages were up. There was only certain specific parts of the economy that looked as though it was weak, you know, with to do with travel and leisure, which is probably to do with the Delta variant. So it wasn't that bad, and maybe the Fed won't be quite as aggressive in taking away their support.
But in China, it looks as though we might have to go the other way, because manufacturing survey data for August came in below 50. Does that mean that the Chinese, having tightened a little bit, are now going to have to loosen the reins?
Well, I mean, just to finish off and sort of link in the US and the Chinese, I mean, we've reduced our US growth forecast actually on the back of the Delta variant impacting some of the activity. And I think you can see that in some of the job data as well. So, you know, we've trimmed a little bit of our US growth, and we've also, as you say, trimmed our Chinese growth forecast. Again, it's to do with the Delta variant, it's to do with some of the restrictions put in place, but it's also to do with the credit tightening that, you know, I've been talking about with you for a little while now in China. And that's been underlying pressure on the Chinese economy. So you add those two things together, and again, it's worth a small downgrade. So it is interesting, isn't it, that over the last few weeks, it's not just us, everyone has been trimming their forecasts for the two biggest economies in the world. So, you know, looking ahead, it's not quite as rosy as it was before. But as I said, it's a weird situation where that means that policymakers are probably going to be a little bit more supportive, not just monetary policy, but also on the fiscal side as well. It probably improves the chances that President Biden gets some of his fiscal support through Congress in the next few weeks.
Okay, so let's just talk about bonds for our current thoughts this week, Ben. And we're seeing some underperformance of European government bonds versus US counterparts. Why is that?
Yeah, that's a strange one, because, you know, Europe often is the lagging economy. It's the one that's been disappointed for so many years compared to the strength of China and the US. But right now, it feels as though Europe perhaps is the area of relative strength. We also saw quite a punchy inflation number out of Europe, and a few of the European Central Bank voters have been hitting the tapes, doing presentations, doing speeches, and sounding a little bit hawkish. And to be fair, it's the hawkish voters that have been sounding hawkish, so that shouldn't be surprising. But, you know, we've had a few headlines. We've got the ECB meeting this Thursday, and there is a risk that the ECB actually does some tapering, reduces some of the bond purchases that they've been doing on the back of that strong inflation print, on the back of some of that more hawkish rhetoric that we've just heard. And that's that perception, or that risk, I guess, has been the reason why European government bond yields have been going up a little over the last few days, underperforming the rest of the world.
And yet you look at high yield as an asset class, and that just is continuing to do well on all fronts.
Yeah, credit markets over August have been pretty flat. You know, spreads have been plus or minus one basis points in investment grade. So the investment grade markets have been flat. High yield has done better. High yield markets have got quite a large energy component, so they're quite sensitive to oil markets, which have been pretty volatile over the last few weeks, and they've been weaker at the beginning of August, and then they've been a bit stronger just recently. And high yield has ridden that strength over the last few days. And high yield markets, have done well again, and spreads have tightened, yields are lower. US high yield seems to be stuck around 4% yield for a little while, but the last few days has fallen below 4%. So you get whatever 3.7%, something like that.
It's feeling like the narrative is a bit the same before we went away as afterwards. I mean, I know we've only had a break for a couple of weeks, but and again, something you've touched on in the past is Evergrande, China's one of the largest property developers, last week announcing a bankruptcy warning.
Yeah, I mean, the sort of ownership, sort of leadership of that company warning that, you know, if they don't manage to sort out their liquidity issues, then there's a chance that they're going to have to restructure their debt. That's not a surprise to anyone. The bonds are trading at very low prices, so it's being priced into markets. But it is going to be interesting if that is indeed the case. So we'll see. You know, they've still got a chance to sort, you know, liquidity issues out. But this has been an ongoing saga. You said we've been speaking about it for a while. If they do end up in bankruptcy proceedings, it's going to be very important to see how they deal with it, because there's an awful lot of interested parties, not just bondholders, but construction companies, people that have bought properties off plan, and they need these properties to be finished, and all that. It actually affects a lot of people in China, so you've got to keep your eye out.
A whole possible read-through and ripple effects of this happening. Okay,
absolutely.
Now, of course, let's turn to this week, it being the first Monday in September. It's Labor Day in the US, and the US market celebrating last week by hitting yet another all-time high.
Yeah, and it's been, as I say, it's been strong, hasn't it? And, this is probably the last sort of holiday few days that we're going to see until we start getting really busy in September. From a bond market perspective, we're going to see an awful lot of new issuance. We're going to see, you know, lots of people talking about the fiscal side in the US. Might even see President Biden announce whether or not Jay Powell remains the head of the US Federal Reserve. So there could be a lot of things happening after this, as I say, almost the final break of the summer.
Yeah, interesting. Let's just talk about that US issuance. I mean, what ramifications is that likely to have on US corporate debt then, Ben?
It's pretty well flagged. Every September you get a lot because people have been on holiday in August. But, you know, but every time you tend to get the first wave and it gets absorbed pretty easily. But then people who knew it was coming maybe made a bit of room in their portfolios to buy some of this new debt. That starts to get eaten into, and, you know, you start to get a little bit of indigestion. And often you do get some indigestion in September. It's not for... You do tend to see historically volatility pick up in September, don't you? You see all these market crashes happen. I'm not saying we're going to have a market crash, but it does tend to be the case.
we get what you're saying. Don't worry. We won't head for the hill just yet. Now, let's finish then with your number. As regular listeners to MT will know, we always end these podcasts with a number. So, number for September, Ben, what is it and why?
Well, I think I'm pretty unusual. I mean, I'm a Brit and I'm living in Hong Kong, but I just love American football, the NFL, and the season starts in September. So it starts at 8:20. That's my number. 8:20 in the morning on Friday, so that's going to be Dallas versus Tampa. So I'm looking forward to that. Don't tell my boss. I'll be watching the TV at 8:20.
Right. Okay. I didn't know that about you, but you know, we live and learn. As you say, possibly, we ease into September quite quietly, but there will be lots going on in the next coming of weeks. So listeners, stay tuned. Ben, as ever, thanks very much. If you've enjoyed listening to this podcast, you can leave us a rating, or maybe even a review if you're feeling particularly generous, on the Apple Podcast app. It really helps new listeners to find us, and we're always on the lookout for new ways we can improve. As a reminder, this podcast is intended for investment professionals only and shouldn't be shared with a non-professional audience. This podcast should not be taken as an invitation to deal in legal and general investments. Any views expressed during this recording belong to the individuals and are based on market conditions at the time of the recording and do not reflect the views of Legal & General Investment Management. Forward-looking statements are, by their nature, subject to significant risks and uncertainties and are based on internal forecasts and assumptions and should not be relied upon. Where individual stocks are mentioned, these do not constitute a recommendation to buy or sell any security and are for illustrative purposes only. Legal & General Investment Management is authorised and regulated by the Financial Conduct Authority. For full terms and conditions, please visit our website. To find more great content, check us out on Twitter, LinkedIn, and our website, elgim.com.